Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Set us free, O God, from the bondage of our sins, and give us the liberty of that abundant life which you have made known to us in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings, with two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet. And with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out." Then he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for today is Psalm 138. Let's respond by half verse. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart.
Before the gods, I will sing your praises.
I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name.
Because of your love and faithfulness.
For you have glorified your name.
And your word above all things.
When I called, you answered me.
You increased my strength within me.
All the kings of the earth will praise you, O Lord.
When they have heard the words of your mouth,
they will sing the ways of the Lord.
That great is the glory of the Lord.
Though the Lord be high, he cares for the lowly.
He perceives the haughty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe.
You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
The Lord will make good his purpose for me.
O Lord, your love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have to come to believe. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the net." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I really, literally almost said, "Please be seated," but I can see that you already are. Sin is one of those terms I sometimes think of as biblical or stained glass words, meaning that they seem to belong in the Bible, but not much of anywhere else. Others are among that list, my list, or righteous, glory, and a few more. They strike the ear, at least this ear, as old-timey, maybe irrelevant. That's convenient, especially in the case of sin, because it makes it easy to think of those words as not having too much to do with life today. Today's collect does an unusually good job of framing our readings this morning, more than sometimes happens. We pray to be set free from the bondage of sin. Even if that phrase, one of those that sounds like it belongs in the Bible but nowhere else, is there. It's a problem, isn't it, when we identify certain words or phrases that way. As soon as we can say that about a word or phrase, it can begin to make the whole of the Bible seem like something outdated and irrelevant to our lives today. It puts the Bible and its teachings at a safe distance from us, making it a kind of artifact or something historically interesting. It certainly becomes something less than the living Word of God. One of the ways we've made the word sin more palatable for us is to seize on one definition derived from the Hebrew word, translated into Greek, translated into English. That Hebrew word meaning missing the mark. It's more palatable than other associations because thinking of missing the mark is a lot easier than thinking about our nasty misdeeds or wrongdoing. After all, we've just missed the mark. We'll do better next time. Our vision will be clearer. Our aim will be sharper. Well, that Hebrew word is only one of a handful translated sin. It appears that there are somewhere between 5 and 8 other Hebrew words trending toward drifting off the path or even deliberately straying from the path. Now, by the way, this is literally in parentheses on my page. You'll undoubtedly hear at least one sermon from me gratefully emphasizing that particular take on sin, missing the mark. But that's for another day. Missing the mark, in the sense of the archer's arrow missing the bullseye, is again a bit more comfortable for us than the definitions that imply willfulness. But it hardly explains bondage, does it? That's a bit different from occasionally missing the mark. Even a willful decision resulting in an unkind word or judgmental thought or a little white lie or creative definition of what qualifies as a tax exemption. No, bondage sounds like something not subject to normal decision making nor sheer act of will. If so, it wouldn't feel like being held captive by it. The obvious example of this type of sin that holds us bondage, and I know I've used it ad nauseum, is addiction. In fact, addiction itself is not, to my mind, sinful any more than some other disease. But actions taken by addicts certainly do qualify. So paradoxically, there is a moral component to that kind of disease. Yep, addiction to alcohol, opioids, narcotics, compulsive behaviors like gambling, overeating, and more, much more. Perhaps I've already told you about the 12-step program for compulsive talkers, on and on and on. Just kidding. Is there anyone who has not had to deal with other, let's call them bad habits? I mean, bad habits, in the sense of patterns of behavior that are difficult, if not impossible, to stop on one's own. Only each person among us can identify his or her behaviors that qualify in that regard. Not being able to choose the behavior or thought or reaction, whatever it might be, or falling back on that thing as the primary means of seeking comfort or relief or distraction from doing some other necessary but unpleasant task. That's what we're talking about. Whatever effect such behavior might have on others, this is about the consequences to the person held in thrall by this unthinking, automatic behavior. These can even come in the guise of some virtue, such as being concerned for others' feelings, a good thing. But when that becomes an unthinking desire to please others at all costs, including telling the truth, it's no longer about others' feelings. It's an unrealistic obsession with seeking approval, protecting oneself from others' displeasure or criticism. When that desire takes on the nature of addiction, it's paralyzing and results in an inability to make simple decisions. Of course, that's only one example. Others include the need to be right at all costs, or a pathological focus on one's physical appearance, or the need to have certain possessions, or a certain illogical amount of money in a bank account wildly beyond what someone needs. And again, and on, and on. Please note, it's not the behavior or thought or anything else that is the problem per se. It's the extreme need to do whatever that thing might be in order to have a sense of value as a human being, or to avoid feeling like one without any value. When one reaches the point of asking, why in the world am I doing this again and continuing to do it? That's one definition I would say of being in bondage. In the words of the Collect, in bondage to sin. Carl Jung, among many physicians, psychologists, clergy, and others, has been quoted as telling a man with an extreme case of alcoholism that there was no hope for him outside of a profound spiritual experience. His actual words apparently were a religious conversion. That spiritual experience can come in different ways, to be sure. The burning bush variety, not unique to Moses, except in a literal sense, as far as I know. A gradual dawning of a sense of God's presence, or through the words and actions of other people, or at least one other person. And that names only a few means of spiritual experience. Some of us have been blessed with several of these kinds of experiences. Whatever else marks them, they have in common one essential element. Something, someone, beyond the individual's will and determination. I call this simply a higher power, that is, a power greater than oneself. We Christians have some handy shorthand for this. Little short words like God or Jesus, Holy Spirit or Holy Trinity. Those all work for us. I said earlier, way back at the beginning of this sermon, that the Collect effectively frames today's reading. So I figure I should mention at least a couple of instances to illustrate my point. Right out of the gate, we have Isaiah, that giant among prophets, coming clean about himself. Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips. And God, through God's messenger, the seraph, heard Isaiah's surrender and confession, touched his lips with a live coal, and said, your guilt has departed. Your sin is blotted out. And when the Lord asks, whom shall I send? Isaiah can say, here am I, Lord, send me. Then there's Paul, the second only to burning bush figure, Paul, the road to Damascus character, acknowledging his previous sins to the Corinthians, including his persecution of the church, as if to say, if God can do this for me, God can do the same for you. Peter, the keeper of the keys of the kingdom, the rock on which the church is founded, had this to say upon seeing the divine shining through the actions of his friend and teacher. Go away from me, for I am a sinful man. Jesus' response, the other half of today's collect, not only forgiveness, but liberation and entrance into the abundant life he came to bring to all of us. Fishing for people, which translates into bringing joy and freedom to others, or bringing others into the freedom of that abundant life. We know the rest of the story, enough of it. It was not a cakewalk for Peter and the other apostles. Rather, imprisonment and persecution of the worst kind. But it was freedom from the bondage of lives marked by judging others, following countless rules and regulations in the hopes of being made worthwhile, and fearing the forces ranged against them. They lived fully and boldly and showed others how to do the same. And because of the living word of God, continue to show us that. Our lives are meant to be filled with God's love as well, filled with life-giving experiences of loving each other, loving God, loving the unlovable, and perhaps that last most of all. Set us free, O Lord, from the bondage of our sins, and give us the liberty of abundant life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people. In peace, we pray to you, Lord, for all people in their daily life and work,
for our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone,
for this community, the nation, and the world,
for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace,
for the just and proper use of your creation,
for the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression,
for all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble,
for those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy,
for the peace and unity of the Church of God,
for all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth,
for Michael, our presiding bishop, Andy, Kay, Jeff, and Hector, our bishops, for Michael, our priest, and for all bishops and other ministers,
for all who serve God in his church,
for the special needs and concerns of this congregation, Justin, Van, Carol, Emily, Jim, Ann, John, RG, Greg, Karen, Alan, Carol, Janet, Maureen, Jill, David, John, the Degater family, Martha and family, and for all on the long-term prayer list prayed for daily by the Daughters of the King, and for those who serve in the military, especially Brian, Trevor, James, Reed, Kevin, Chris, Jared, Brian, Jonathan, Eric, and all in harm's way. And for those who are traveling,
I invite your own prayers at this point, silently or aloud. If you wish them to be heard by others, please unmute yourself to do that. Ask your prayers for Lindsay.
And Steph.
Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life, and especially for the birthdays this week of Morgan Montemayor, Ursula Dominguez, Bill Calloway, and Ian Rodriguez, and the wedding anniversary of Nancy and Dale Petty.
Again, I invite your own thanksgivings aloud or silently.
We will exalt you, O God, our King,
and praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, especially Jean Taylor, Rocco Sanford, John Crutchfield, Dr. Lewis Leatherman, Lawrence Homer, and all who have died from the coronavirus, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. We pray also for those who mourn their passing.
Dr. Hudson Glimp.
Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them
who put their trust in you.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins, taking a moment first. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, and your compassion forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit that we may live and serve you in newness of life to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please unmute yourselves. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Peace be with you all.
Peace be with you.
We've come to count on that dove of peace from Wayne and Kenneth. That's wonderful. And now, may Christ, the Son of God, be manifest in you, that your lives may be a light to the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And now unmute yourselves again, please. And we'll stay that way after this. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.